Welcome to the Veteran Entrepreneur Masterclass with Brett Henderson, founder of Strategic Wealth Endeavor. We've created a community of veteran entrepreneurs just like you who are ready to help you succeed. Our podcast provides expert advice and resources so you can overcome any obstacle in your way. With the help of Brett and veteran guest experts, you can build a battle-ready business mindset to take your company to the next level. Thank you for listening to the Veteran Entrepreneur Masterclass. Now, on to the show.
All right. So this is Brett Henderson with the Veteran Entrepreneur Masterclass. Today's guest is Lieutenant Colonel Jim Krog. And we just tried to go over how to say his last name correctly for the last several minutes. I've been butchering it for weeks. But Lieutenant Colonel Krog, or Colonel Krog, which Army gets mad if you call him a colonel. Marine Corps, we don't care. We call light colonel. It's fine. Mutual respect all the way around. Your resume and your experience list is 2 pages, and it's amazing. And you're one of those guys I'm humbled just to be in your presence. And so what I'm not going to do is read your resume. Just everyone who's listening, he's a badass, right? He's a badass, and he's still a badass. And so good, bad, and ugly in the past and today, you're doing amazing things. And you're still active in the veteran community, and you're still active in the reserve community, and you're an executive in business, and you're running an American Legion chapter, and you're one of those guys, which I love and hate at the same time. Love because all the wonderful things you're doing, hate because I'm personally humbly jealous because I'm not doing nearly as much as you are. So you make guys like me feel horrible about who we are because you're just such an awesome dude. So I am here, I'm humbled and honored to have you on board. And so I'll shut up. Why don't you just take 2 or 3 minutes, which is I know is almost impossible to do, kind of share your background militarily and kind of just what you did when you were in and how you transitioned to the reserves, and kind of we'll just go through your journey. And actually, why don't we, as you're going through your journey, I'm just going to stop you and hit you with questions along the way. And so nothing's planned, nothing's scripted. This is all real, all live. And the first question I asked, though, before I turn it back over to you to give us a little background is, are you a client of mine right now?
I'm not a client technically of yours. Good. However, I just joined your group and I'm fascinated by the effort you and your Marines have been putting into something that I think the military is just starting to catch on to, and that's the commonality of our entrepreneurism and the drive that we as veterans have and the need for that to be enhanced in the post-service time frame and the value that is within the veteran community, because we're leaders. We should be leading in the entrepreneurial area, we should be leading in the political area. We learn this in the military arena. So I think what you guys are doing is great. And that's why I want to be a part of it and help you guys out in any way I can.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And so I will share, and I know we just talked about it briefly before I hit the record button, and I should have not done that, but whatever. It's my podcast, we'll fix it. So the epiphany I had, and for all our listeners, I do want to share, we met about a month and a half ago or so at an American Legion event in the Pacific Palisades. There were 2 Medal of Honor recipients from Vietnam there. So I was humbled, and their stories are amazing. It's another level of what that generation did in Vietnam. But before they spoke there, you got up and you spoke. And I think I've shared on a couple of my podcasts now that I'm a peacetime Marine. So I don't have the combat V, I don't have a t-shirt. And I, before your speech a month and a half, 2 months ago, mentally my own head trash, I always viewed myself as a second-rate veteran because I didn't have the combat V, didn't have the experience. And as I'm having conversation with other veterans day in and day out that I meet on LinkedIn who are peacetime Marines, they're mostly guys that were in the 80s and or 90s. So there wasn't as much going on, and that's how they all felt compared to the last guys in the last 20 years. So we're all going to Afghanistan, Iraq. And so your speech, which I'll let you kind of just hit a few parts of it on the entrepreneurship aspect, but I'll let you share what you shared with me again after you give your background a little bit and why the entrepreneurship piece is so huge. I will just say now, because it's on my mind now, that you helped me bring my own confidence back in myself where I no longer feel a second-rate veteran, because I know what I'm doing now and the messages we're getting out there and the speeches we're having and the podcasts we're creating and sharing with the community is doing more to help veterans grow and overcome their own head trash than anything I was ever doing when I was active duty. So thank you. I'm just telling you, sir, thank you for that, because you've helped me grow. And that's just the power of this podcast. Since I've been doing only a couple months, I'm growing immensely. So I just want to say thank you again. And I'm humbled truly to have you on. So now I'll shut up. Everyone's tired of me. Let's hear about you and kind of your little journey and how it started and where you've gotten to today. So floor is yours, sir.
I'll get into that. But I want to make one statement.
And please.
You talk about combat veterans have been downrange. That's not what is important in what we're doing. What we're doing is we have a commonality in that we all raised our hand in front of a flag and we were willing to serve. That commonality is what brings us all together, whether or not we got shot at, whether or not we put our boots in the sand, or whether or not we were in Washington, D.C. the whole time. What's important is bringing together all of these people who have that military training, but that military ethos, that military value. That's what's needed in our community. That's what's needed in the business world. That's what's needed in our nation, politically, culturally, sociologically. So I go way beyond my combat experience. That means nothing in this. What matters is my bond with you as a fellow serviceman and anyone else who made that life choice to put that uniform on. So, you know, I appreciate you and all you've done in your service and what you're doing to serve here. So I just wanted to get that out of the way.
I appreciate that.
My background, I actually started off in the military, immediately got malaria. So I was going into special operations and I was going to be a door kicker and I wanted to do the super cool commando stuff. But when you get malaria, it's a gift that keeps on giving. And every 6 weeks, I got a relapse. I had falciparum malaria, and then I had Vivax malaria, which is recurrent. Those diseases put me into a position where I had to find something else to do with my life. I nearly died from it, but it was almost a blessing because it caused me to have to lift and shift, to be dynamic, to reinvent my situation. And ironically, because I was a soldier, because I was surrounded by soldiers, with that mentality, I was able to engage it that way. I took a high stress, highly dynamic environment. I made it work, found my mission. I completed my mission. That was, let me start up a business because what can I do? I moved into business. I was in the reserves at that point then. So I maintained my connectivity with that military base, those people, that mindset. I've used that as an inspiration for the past 30 years. And people asked him, why do you stick with the reserves when you could spend all your time in business building your company and making money? A lot of my inspiration comes from being around service people. So I'm in a program with it's called the IMA. So I'm a reservist to the 1st Special Forces Command, Fort Bragg. Won't go into exactly what I do. I was an intelligence officer for most of my career. I am blessed to get to work with some of those creative-minded and hardworking and positive-minded people all across the military. I get to work in a joint environment. So I work with Marines, I work with Navy, and I get to see the best of the best. And in that leadership environment, in that stress environment, I get inspired to come back to the work environment and apply. When I see a veteran stepping out of the military and saying, hey, I want to work for myself, here's my inspiration. I have a unique ability because I got malaria, because I ended up on this weird track of being an Army officer and of being a businessman and later of starting a veterans nonprofit. I have a view into each one of those camps. And because of that, I just have found myself being able to articulate to those veterans to say, hey, I know you're trying to come up with a business plan and that seems intimidating. But do you remember when you were on active duty and you had a CONOPS plan or an operations order for every single thing that you did? You had situation, mission, you had concept of the
SMEAC.
Operation.
SMEAC, whatever SMEAC stood for. It's been 20 years for me, but yes, SMEAC.
You were a part of that. You lived by that. It wasn't that someone just wrote that. you knew there was a plan. You were part of the plan. You're part of a structure in that plan, and there is a plan. That's what a business plan is. And then the inaction of that is the same thing. So you can take people and go to get an MBA, then go from high school into college and go get their master's and have jack nothing of life experience on the ground. And you can take a person who's had 3 or 4 years in the military, and I would take that person's experience over the person who's got all the book reading that college can give them. And unfortunately, the military doesn't enunciate that to you. The military is just like any other organization that's trying to survive itself. So they don't want to tell their soldiers or Marines or sailors that you can take this skill set that we're teaching you and apply it to starting a business, because they're afraid that people will leave and start that business and no longer be in the military. My situation, I love the military. You know, this is God and country time. So I stay in as a reservist, and that's really what the military could benefit from. But someone's got to tell these veterans coming out that you actually have a ton of worthwhile experience. And if you put half the amount of work that you put in your Army job or your Marine Corps job into what you're doing at an office, you're going to be a millionaire. That's just the way it is, because you have that experience. And what does the military do? The military takes a structure and they inbred this structure in you. Why do they do that? Because they're going to take you during wartime and drop you into a foreign environment where there is no rule. There is, you know, country to country, that no man's land in between, where there's no rules, and the military is going to create its own structure to fight the war with. Well, what better skill set than to have a person that you can drop into a business, because business is chaos. There's no one there to help you because everyone's competing with you. So you're dropping this person into business, and they have experience building structure. They have teamwork experience, team building experience. They have an ability to identify a mission, and then they have a follow through, that drive that got you through basic training. If it got you through special forces training, or if it just got you through basic, we all accomplished. My drive in this is recognizing that our community doesn't have enough political leadership. We don't have enough business CEOs who have the skill set that we have coming out of the military. And that's what we need to do. We need to foster that. We need to build that up, because the same thing that made you volunteer to put on the uniform, that's the same thing that makes you step up to lead in your community, step up to lead in your company.
I wouldn't say I disagree, but I see it differently, because if you're in a small town and you decide to put the uniform on, a lot of Americans do it because they're from a small town and they want to get out of that town, and maybe they can't afford college. And hey, I sign here and then I'm told what to do. I don't have to think. If I just shut up and follow the rules and do what I'm told, I'll be okay. And then, okay, I get through basic, I go to my school, do whatever the school is, get my specialty, get my MOS, get some basic training. And if I just show up on time, do what I'm told to do, generally be promoted, right? I don't have to think. It's a safe place until you go to war. It's a whole other thing, but there's structure there. So you don't have to think. You don't have to develop the plan. You don't have to realize you need an SOP. You don't have to realize I don't have an SOP, so I should go build an SOP because I don't have that structure. So I think on the enlisted side, maybe it's different than officer side. Now the NCOs, non-commissioned officers, that drive it. And this is a good conversation, you know, but I'd say when you come out, there is, as you said, it's chaos. Business is chaos. There is no structure, and there is no group that I found yet. Maybe there are a few out there now, but the whole reason we built this to create an environment where these lone wolves who are out there trying to figure it out don't have to be alone and realize they're not alone, and that there are others out there that are in the trenches just like them, building a business, delivering value, trying to create an enterprise of something for some greater purpose. And so hearing what you said, I agree, but I see a different perspective, because when you're in the military, you can just shut up, do what you're supposed to do, and you'll quote, be okay, at least in peacetime. At least in peacetime. Give me your perspective. This is not right or wrong. Give me feedback.
I respect that on a leadership standard, however, the United States military is structured to teach leadership. The experience of being led gives you a perception and an understanding of what your leader is and whether to emulate or to not emulate what that person does. The British military has a program called Corporal for Life. In their military, you can be a private and then you can be a corporal and spend 20 years as a corporal, because that's exactly what you're saying. You just show up and do what you're told. In our military, and I had an argument with a group of social workers who told me, they said, "Well, Mr. Craig, you're talking about leadership, and those are the officers, and the officers, they don't have problems finding jobs. It's the enlisted people that need help finding jobs." And I said, "Ma'am, you're selling out all of these young people who've been a team leader, who've been a squad leader. I don't care if you led two people. When you go into business, sometimes you're leading a two-man team." And that experience is what draws out greatness. And that's what, to me, when you put that uniform on, that's when the greatness starts. That's the difference between you and the person who said, "Yeah, no, I'm really all about myself." A person who puts on that uniform says, "You know what? Yeah, I could do nothing, or I could just go to the military just to get college money." You're saying that to yourself, but the reality is you are putting on a uniform. And by doing that first step and then stepping into that massive unit where you're a private and then you've got a team leader, and then the team leader's got a squad leader, and the squad leader's got a platoon sergeant, and then you've got commanders all the way up. Understanding that, when I have people come to work for me and they've got a military background, they can immediately identify who their chain of command is, who's outside of their chain of command, who they need to work for, who's going to set the mission for that person. That's what's awesome to me. You get someone straight out of the MBA courses, you're at zero.
Right.
You're at below zero to me.
That makes sense. You have the street smarts versus book smarts, and you got the experience. So I can
Yeah.
see that. But I will say, I'm just going to say this there, just going back to my time in,
Yeah.
there are those who are corporal for life, so to speak, or Lance Corporal for life, and they do their 4 years. You couldn't do 20. You couldn't do
Yeah.
20, especially the Marine Corps. But there are guys and gals that just, they got in and maybe they're motivated and things change and life changes and you have a different perspective over time. But there are the ones who rise to the top and there are those that don't. And so but I think so it's a more of a dissection of society, right? There. You brought up an interesting question for me. I'm gonna go back and ask you a personal question. So you shared that you had malaria and you had to shift. So if you could be a little vulnerable and kind of share your mindset when you had malaria and you realized it was recurring and you couldn't just get over it like a cold and go back to what you were doing and kicking doors, whatnot, and you realized you had to go a different direction. How was that thought process in your mind when you had that realization, hey, I'm not going to be doing X when you've been training for X for how many years? And then you realize I have to make a shift. How did that feel? And then how did you overcome that?
I can tell you, it was even worse than that,
Please.
because I would lose 5 to 10 pounds every time I would get a malaria relapse. It's you sweat everything off. So I would get sick, I would lay up for a week, I try to go to the gym and I try to build up, build up, build up, and then boom, it would hit me, and then I'd lose another 5 pounds, I'd lose everything I gained back. And then I'd have to try again, starting building up, building up, building up. Boom, I'd lose everything. And honestly, I can pinpoint, and I think at the meeting that you were at, it was go right back to a Master Sergeant, Special Forces Master Sergeant Dan Federle, who was at the event.
Yeah, I remember him.
And I was wondering, I was like, what am I going to do? I was around great people. I was around somebody who is motivating me just through their being themselves, not necessarily having to say something to me, but it's being around innovative people and people who don't say take no for an answer. I was in survival mode and I was inspired. That's really what it boiled down to. In Dan's case, what Dan said to me, was he said, hey, you just came. I was from, I'd been on the SEER school, Survival Escape Resistance Evasion. I'd been the XO there. And he said, hey, Jim, you love SEER. Why don't you write up all your SEER tips into a folder and just go to like Soldier Fortune magazine or something like that and take out an ad and sell for $5, you know, SEER tips. And then someone sends you $5 and that'll show you, you know, is entrepreneurship, is starting a business, is that a direction you should go in? It just opened my eyes to, wow, wait a minute. You're saying I can do this? I'm surrounded by mega corporations of businesses. And you're telling me that me, one individual, all I have to do is sit down, write something up and try. Here's a guy who's, Dan is now actually one of the leaders in the drone world. I mean, this was a guy who was an innovator. I was around innovative people. And I can go through my entire military career. And yeah, I can come up with a list of dirtbags. I can come up with a list of just rocks, people who are not going to go anywhere. But what's important to me is I can come up with a list of inspirational personalities that I can draw from and that I know other military people can draw from. We all had one or two people that just said the right thing at the right time. And that's why our veteran community has that. People spend thousands of dollars to go to a university and have some PhD supposedly say the right thing to them. Hell, the Army paid us, the Marine Corps paid you to sit there and be exposed to that leader that was there to inspire you. And yeah, at the same time, maybe you're that rock. Maybe you just want to be told what to do, but maybe you need to get onto a team where an entrepreneur wants to start up a team, and maybe he needs a person who is just a hard-working guy, just wants a simple life. There's nothing wrong with that. Maybe I want to find those people. In business, you'll talk about your A students, B students, and C students, and you'll say that the A student, those kids are going to end up becoming professors and inventors. The B students are going to end up being the managers because they're smart and the good at stuff. The C students are the ones who are going to become entrepreneurs. The entrepreneur is going to become the CEO, the owner of the company, and the B's and the A's are going to work for that guy. So we all have our own personalities. We all have our own drive, and it's just what was drawn out in that. In my situation, yeah, I was at zero. I was bankrupt for ideas. I figured I could either just sit down and die, or I could step up and give something a try. And when that one guy, when this Vietnam veteran suggested I just give something a try, that's what lit the fire in my belly. And from there, it's been a series of Dan Federle types that have helped me, inspired me, given me advice. And frankly, most of those people have all, I'm not going to say they're all military. A lot of them are law enforcement guys, but they just had the same personalities. And there's people say it's a good old boy network, and I don't see it that way at all. I see it as a vetting. When you've been in the military, you've seen let's say you're a sergeant, you had 10 people, you can say I want to work with that one fellow over there. And when you get out of the military, you're going to call that guy up and you say I want to work with you. Is that a good old boy network? Hey, it means when I went out on a week in the dirt, kicking around dust and being miserable, I found that I could trust that guy. That's what matters to me.
Yeah.
And I've met people over the last 25 years in business that I trust them. And at the end of the day, my business nearly bankrupted in 2013. Sequestration was congressional action. We lost 80% of our contracts in about a 3-month time span. And how was I going to react to that? Well, we had one banker that they said, you know, we shouldn't give you a financial loan because of this standard, because you're just below the standard. But he said, but Jim, your military background has convinced all of us to give you that shot. There's something about you that we trust. It's not to say non-military people are untrustworthy, not saying that at all. You can trust the military veteran to have a tenacity that we can understand because it's common to all of us.
Yeah, no, I think that's phenomenal. And so you just shared two examples there. If I can go back to the one when you had malaria, how long were you in your career there? So were you getting med boarded out? Was that what's going on there? And you're like, what do I do? Or can you just touch base on that a little bit more?
I ended up in the reserve system and I had to take years off, but the military has always needed bodies. So I've loved the military. I've had 2 points in my career where I just did not have time for the military. So I took a couple of years off and then I came back and said, hey, I'd like to have a reserve unit again. Can I come back out? So if you're a good person, in my opinion, the military will always embrace you to come back. With my situation with malaria, I ended up shifting towards the intelligence side of the military, which benefited me again, because intelligence is all about collection. It's all about understanding the battlefield, intelligence preparation of the battlefield, and it's about people. And one thing soldiers, Marines are great at is people and connecting. Because they stick us all in uniform, we have to execute a mission as a team. And I just developed a great understanding of people, what makes them work, what motivates them in that military. And so I enhanced that by being in intelligence, working on the human intelligence side of the world. And I got to take some neat classes in that. But was it my business experience of working with customers that enhanced my military side, or was it the military training that enhanced my ability to work with customers?
I think we know the answer there. I think it's both. It's exactly. Both. And it experience is experience. Good, bad, or ugly, no matter where you get it, experience is paramount. And hence, like, as I shared earlier, we've only been doing this podcast 2-3 months, and my experience is growing because of just having these conversations and just absorbing the stories and trying to put yourself in that scenario and live it and be present and say, okay, this is what they went through. This is what they did. So if you can do that, if you can relate, if you can understand, then you can embrace those lessons, even though you didn't personally go through them, hopefully. And so it's kind of secondhand experience to allow you to step forward and move forward with your own journey, your own path. So with that, I'd love to ask how you kind of started. You said you started the business in the garage, and I don't want to steal any of your thunder there, but what was the moment when you realized you wanted to start your current business? And I don't want to steal your thunder there. I could read your bio again, but why don't you kind of lead me to what you were doing, and then what was the epiphany you had to start your current business, and then how did that all come to fruition?
I found a niche. I found a hole that I could fill. The military is great for that because we're in a really different world. If you're just a regular civilian and you're staring at Walmart, everything's already being filled for you. But from the military world, you can see, we're always complaining, aren't we? We're always saying, oh my God, what the hell? Why does this rucksack feel like crap on my back? Why isn't there an extra place for me to put, this canteen? This is stupid. Soldiers love to complain. And so I found a niche, and I was trying to find something to do with my life.
What year was this? Sorry, just put things in perspective.
1997.
Okay.
So I'd gotten the malaria. I took a job working as a substitute teacher in LAUSD. That paid my bills. And at that point, I was able to say, look, it's either going to work with a business, and I'll just drop the teaching, or I'll fall flat on my face, and then I'll just become a teacher. And I enjoy teaching. I love training people. I thought that I like people communicating. So I figured I'd run with that. Okay. So I stepped into the business opportunity where I said, wow, I've been in the military. There's always somebody with a different pouch. There's someone with a cool map case that they're putting their patches on. There was somebody who was sewing additional pockets on their rucksack. I was that guy too. And as people were saying, hey, you should do this. Can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? I realized pretty quickly. And I think that we as entrepreneurs, that what makes us different as a veteran entrepreneur as opposed to veteran non-entrepreneur, I guess, is that we see a bigger picture to a need. We see that opportunity. Sometimes maybe you don't see that opportunity for years. Maybe you just have to go through life until that one that just hits you. I popped into a reserve unit, and there were a lot of police in that unit, and their gear sucked. We were designing load carriage for the on the military side, and here I had all these LAPD guys who didn't have a way to carry their extra ammunition because they were thinking in the old Adam 12 mindset, you know, blue uniform, shiny badge, black leather. Well, where are you going to put your shotgun ammo? And then the B of A shootout happened in 1998. And here I was sewing some stuff for my military buddies. And then there's these LAPD guys who got into a gunfight with guys with machine guns and they had shotguns, but all the ammunition was in cardboard boxes in the trunk. Well, I had this little rig where you could put shotgun ammo and pistol mags onto a thigh rig, and instead of having it in the trunk, having it up in the front with you, and you just grab it, clip it, and go. And that's what started it. It was obvious to me, hey, if I'm going to be in a gunfight, I need to be able to grab something and go. This was a need that had been there for decades. It took the B of A shootout to actually make this thing happen.
Lessons in blood.
Exactly.
Lessons in blood.
If we in the military see it, we engage it, and we reward the soldiers who say, hey, this is what we should do to engage this. My military experience is really what caused my business to happen. And then from there is the B of A shootout. Next thing was there's a Democratic National Convention in Los Angeles, and they had professional rioters coming in to set up riots. And LAPD called me in because they said, well, this is going to be like Greek phalanx warfare between riot control cops and these rioters. I got brought in to say, well, if you're going to do that, let me design a gas mask carrier that you guys can carry. Let me design a way to carry your pepper ball ammunition. Let me design a way to carry your stun grenades. It opened a mindset of innovation where in law enforcement, like I said before that, it was blue uniform and the black leather belt. So suddenly LAPD was using nylon. They're using military type equipment and it was working for them. And that just took off. The next piece from there was Taser came in and said, hey, well, you're making equipment to clip onto a person. Can you make something to hold the Taser? That took us to Vegas Metro, to Phoenix, to Seattle, to Honolulu, all these police departments came to us, but when they came to us, they also brought their needs, their ideas. I just love innovating. So to me, I just found more and more and more and more products to provide. I'm a service provider, I'm not a product provider. And I think that's something about the military is there's no product in the military we serve. I provide the service of, you tell me what your mission is, I'll help you accomplish that mission.
I'm laughing because I almost, have you ever gone to my website?
Mm-hmm.
My mission statement is right there. Our mission is to position you to accomplish yours. I'm a service industry as well. What you just said is our mission statement. So everything we do is designed to help someone else accomplish their mission. So I love what you just said. Literally, it's our mission statement. So that's awesome that you shared that. How though did you become comfortable with the idea of sewing or adding patches? Is it just from experience from being in special forces and customizing your gear there where you got okay with it? Where was the situation? Like, well, I should get a, did you get a sewing machine or did you have a seamstress or, you know, how did the actual, is identifying a need is one thing. We have a lot of ideas, great ideas, especially if we're drinking late at night, but then to take an idea and turn it into a prototype or a thing or something besides just conversation over drinks with your friends at night into an actual tangible product is a big difference. So how did that go from the idea that, yeah, we should maybe try this, like, boom, here's this?
I learned how to sew in seventh grade home ec class in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. I was cursed with the knowledge on how to sew. I was just like every other soldier who complained, except when I complained, I said, "Well, screw it, I'm going to do something about this." Everybody else just said, "Oh, I'm grumpy, I'm angry, whatever." But no, I said, "I'm going to sit down and do something." And I knew there was a sewing machine in the supply room. And so I went down there and I destroyed that sewing machine because it was meant for sewing uniform patches and not for sewing backpack heavy nylon. So unfortunately, Gary Cope was the guy in charge of the supply room. And I apologized to him about 15 years later when I came back and thanked him for helping me start my company. But sorry, I did about $500 worth of damage on your sewing machine, dude. It was there, and I was able to say, "You know what? I need a way to hold this. I need a way to a place to put my map. I'm always fumbling in the dark. This will make me be able to survive." And frankly, I was surrounded by people who, when I did something like created a map case that we could attach to our packs that we could get in and out of, because you're an ROTC doing that, that made them respect me and congratulate me. That's the same thing in the world as them handing me money as a customer wanting to hand money to me. That was my experience just in cadet land that taught me that. And then when I went on to become a lieutenant, I went down to the MWR and they had sewing machines, and I destroyed five sewing machines down there. Then I took $800. I spent $200 and bought a used industrial sewing machine, and $600 to buy the Cordura. Started making vests. It wasn't at all to try to make money. My first team with this unit is a bunch of Green Berets from Vietnam, MacSog, CCN, Project B-52, some badasses. And here I was, a lieutenant.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do to impress anybody except, "Here, let me sign off on whatever it is you want to do. Just let me come along and hang out with you cool guys." Well, I wanted to do something cool, so I made vests for everybody. Next thing I know, they were paying me for these vests, and I ended up getting. So we built stable harnesses into the vests. I built, hydration systems into the vests, and then people started recognizing that. Well, then people from other units started wanting the same stuff, and again, that goes back to that military thing. We were all in a platoon somewhere at some point where you wanted to be accepted. Guys in the other squads wanted to connect with you. Well, that's a microcosm of business school. It is that platoon life. It's perfect. It was perfect for me. And it taught me how to develop basically a business plan and then a business strategy that when I got sick with malaria and I had to find something to do, I had this ability to sew stuff. When the need popped up, it was there. That skill set was there. I always promote people going to the SBA, SBDC, or SCORE. If you've got a business idea, go down to those organizations. They have these free seminars and they're invaluable. I went in there with my business idea and the SCORE guy. There were like 12 different people sitting around a table who had business ideas. And this guy just torpedoed every single one of the people at that table until he got to me. And I said, "Well, hey, what's your business idea?" I said, "Well, I'm in the military. The military doesn't have any kind of a good vest system, and they don't have a good way, and the police, I find out, don't have a way of carrying our ammunition. So I'm making something." And the guy just smacked the table and said, "There's a guy who's identified a need, and he's going to fill that need." That was an epiphany for me. I was like, "Okay, I was filling a need. The military taught me how to fill a need. It taught me how to look for a mission out there. I found a mission. This guy was just pointing out how that falls into the business world. Boom, I'm off and running with it." And the only thing that goes on that happened beyond that was a drive. I don't know how to gauge drive from one veteran to another veteran. I can say that when I nearly bankrupted the company, I was like living off of Army Reserve checks for about 3 years. So if it wasn't for my wife and her taking care of the family, I would have been dead in the water. But I was constantly being advised, Jim, bankrupt the company, just bankrupt it and start off with a new name. I guess there was something about me as a soldier that, no, my company is SOTEC, Special Operations Technologies. And throughout the military, people knew that's Jim Craig. That's me. If you bankrupt your company, what you're doing is you're filing a legal protection, so you end up not paying the people you owe money to. So could I bankrupt it and then start it up and call it SOTEC with an exclamation point? Yeah, but I would have screwed over so many other people who are trying to make ends meet on their end. I got so much respect from all my vendors, from all my customers, that when they saw me go through that I am not going to bankrupt. I'm going to drive on through this. I am going to make this happen. That when the company kind of got back on its feet, I think it did more to bring more customers, to bring more people in to say, I'd rather do business with this guy, because this guy, even when the chips are down, he's going to fight it out. Again, in the civilian world, you're not going to find that. You're not going to find people who have that survival instinct. I will find that amongst veterans. I will always be able to find that fire in their belly.
Grit. It's grit. On the business side, Angela Duckworth has her book Grit, and it's just not quitting. It's not giving up. It's just driving on and you're in the shit and good days and bad days. We've all been there. As you're sharing yours, like I've got mine. I'm not going to go through my stuff here, but I've been through some stuff and you see it and you just don't stop. I think another example of the civilian world where was everyone in the last mortgage crisis in 08, 09, who was underwater on their mortgages. They got these special mortgages that they shouldn't have been able to have because they couldn't afford them. But they're just giving money away. And when you give money to people who aren't responsible enough and shouldn't have it, guess what? Shit happens. And hence the mortgage debacle. And I was sitting there underwater in with several of my own personal properties, but it's like, I just keep paying because it's what you do. And so many other people just walked away. And no loss, no harm, no foul. Their credit was bad for maybe six months or a year, but they moved on. And I was yelling at myself, like, oh, I'm sitting with these properties underwater. I'm spending money every month. And like, why do these other people get to walk away and I don't? But I still own them now. And some of my properties are paid off because I made it through because I didn't quit because I had the grit. And you just, yeah, there's something about doing things the right way. And when you do it, you can sleep well at night. Now, we all have our own other issues why we don't always sleep well at night. But if you do the right thing and you take care of people and you can look someone in the eye and you shake their hand or your fist bump or air, whatever you do now, because you're not allowed to shake hands anymore. But you look them in the eye because you know you're doing good. You feel good. And that comes across in a second. You get a judgment of character in a second and you know. And I think that's what we have in this podcast. So we're trying to get out and get the message out there embraces that. So a lot of veteran entrepreneurs or, and maybe not only veterans, but entrepreneurs in general go through some hard times. And there are lots of lessons and failures before that success. And sometimes you have success and then you still have failures. But failure and quitting is two different things. And you can quit in a failure and then, yeah, then it's truly that's a failure. But if you, okay, here's the goal. This strategy isn't working. I need a new strategy, right? Yeah, the goal's always there. You may not, oh, I hit a hard wall. I can't go through it. I can't go around it. I can't go over this one. I need to back way up and look at a whole different angle of approach. Just like any other mission you have, the goal's there. And if the first strategy doesn't work, try another strategy. But having that mental fortitude to see that and recognize that and be vulnerable and say, what I'm doing isn't working. And either it's something that you controlled or the environment controls you. And if you can't control the environment, you have to acknowledge that you could mentally, morally be right. But if the environment is the environment, you can't change the environment. You got to back out, reassess, and move forward. So that being said, I didn't even ask you. So I think if you're open, I think we could have a whole nother episode or issue with you actually with the current status of your business and what you guys are doing today. We didn't even talk about your business or how big it is or what you're doing. It's just really about your first initial challenges. And I want to be respectful of time because it's almost an hour mark. But with that being said, number one, would you like to come back again if I invited you back? Would you?
Would love to. This is awesome. Yeah, talking about this, but knowing that we're able to spread the word, that's the mission. Money in the bank is not the mission. It's being part of something bigger than ourselves. That's the mission. Just hearing what you just said, Brett, the way you talked about the way you engage business, today is actually election day, and in the background, and it just struck me that I said, wow, I wish our city's leaders, our state's leaders, our federal politicians, why don't they approach things the way Brett is talking about approaching? Why isn't our country run by people like Brett? Why are businesses that are bankrupting people walking away? And it just strikes me every time I talk with a veteran entrepreneur, you hear that tone in their voice. We need more people like you. We need more people like us.
We need more people. Yeah. I was going to say like you, I'm just one little guy trying to figure out which way is up, but I completely agree. So that I'm going to ask you if you can think of one lesson or one tidbit or one nugget out of the thousands that you have that you would like to share with our listeners to really help them focus on business. I'm going to ask you that in a moment. However, with what your comment just made me think of something. So I'll chat about business, and there's tasks. I have my own business. There's things to get done, accounts to open, investments to make, and reports to send out. In my own business, there's a task. Hey, until this task is done, we don't get paid for this one relationship. And then just talking about business. Okay. I have my team. Well, I've tried this. I tried that. Okay. Is the mission accomplished? Well, I've tried and tried. Well, okay, great. Trying's nice. Is the mission accomplished? Well, yes or no. And it's not done. Okay. So guess what? We keep trying. We try different things. So it's a balance. It's a balance because in business, there's no participation award. If you don't succeed in business, you don't have cash flow. You don't have cash flow. You don't make payroll. You don't have payroll. You don't have employees. You don't have a business. That's when you truly fail. Having the wherewithal to realize you're doing a task and you may be failing at that task, but you have to try a different approach and knowing when to ask for help. Say, I've tried everything I can think of. I thought of A, B, C, and D, and I've tried. I failed all four. Is there another perspective you think you can help me so I can continue to try? That approach, I love, welcome, and respect because it shows me you've tried, I failed, and I'm still trying to figure it out. I haven't given up, but I'm at an impasse. What do you think? Perfect. That's a mentorship opportunity to listen, learn, engage versus the, hey, I tried this, didn't work. And then I'm following up a couple of weeks later. What about this? Well, this wasn't done. Oh yeah, I tried. It didn't work. But just because you tried doesn't mean you stop. No, you don't stop. You keep going until there's a solution, until it's finished. And I think that grit, I sometimes somewhere isn't in every person. That having that grit is what to be successful. You have to realize you're not gonna accomplish every task the first time, and you're gonna fail. Fine, okay, it's okay to fail. It's okay to not bat 1,000. The best batters in baseball are 300, which is 1 in 3 times. Okay, you're striking out twice. You're sitting down twice before you get on base. Doesn't sound very good, but that's actually really good, right? You got to fail twice before you have success. So that lesson in grit is there. And I see it in business every day. I think everyone sees it. There's people who can try and it's like, well, I can try to pay you. Or do you actually want to get paid? Well, what if I said I tried to process payroll and I just didn't? Sorry, but I tried. No, people expect to get paid because they're expecting something from you. You're not going to try. You're going to do. And if you don't succeed, it's having that grit again to go through. So that's something that just popped in my mind as we were chatting. But I'm going to let you finish it here. you can either talk about that or just kind of comment on what I just shared, or I'd love to hear a nugget that you think that our other veteran entrepreneurs that are listening would really appreciate. Your call.
I would continue on what you're saying, but that's that nugget. It's in the military, we have always found that person who is going to get that job done. We've dealt with it, you can go through your entire military background and come up with certain people who, when you said, hey, we need to get this done, their response is, oh, we can't do that. Regulation, we can't do that. Equipment, we can't do that. And the reason I love going to Fort Bragg, being around the soft guys, is I never hear that. I get, hey, sir, you know, according to regulation, we're not allowed to do this, and we don't have any of the funding to do this, but I'm going to find a way to get it done. It's always the answer. That it's that piece.
Yep.
And I think in the civilian world, yeah, there's those kids who got trophies for everything, for showing up, right? We in the military have had the experience, and I don't care if you're a forklift operator or you're a sniper. You at some point had a mission to complete where you in your head said, if I don't load this shipment on this truck, people could die. People with the same uniform could die from me not doing my job. And I think that's the one thing that clicks to people. I think a lot of people, maybe when they get posed with that in the military, they say, yeah, I just can't handle this and I'm not right for this. But there's those people who say, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get this job done. They've had that experience. They've had that moment. And that's what I'm looking for when I go to work with somebody is, does this person, when the crap is about to hit the fan, am I going to be able to ask this person to do something? And they're going to say, as hard as it's going to get, I'm going to find a way to get this job done. Are people going to die? No. It's the mission. It's inside of me. It's inside of you as a Marine. That's what drives the country, is people who will find a way to get it done. Rules, regulations, you can hide behind them all day long and say, oh, we can't do this for this rule. Well, the reason rule is there is to maintain structure. A leader identifies the rule and says, okay, I'm going to request an exception to that rule because our mission is more important. And I'm going to step beyond that rule. We all come across that person who's going to use the rules as an excuse. Sorry, I'm going to just go home and hang out for the rest of the day because this rule says I can't do that. No, I've got a mission and that's more important. And we're going to come back and we're going to talk to the commander. He's going to go talk to his commander and we'll discuss the rule and how that needs to be fixed so we can get our damn job done. That's what I'm looking for. That's what you as a veteran entrepreneur have. And that's what
I'm looking for. It's all grit, man. I think that's great. I think we finished on that. So, Jim, if someone wants to reach out to you, how would they contact you, sir?
Easiest way is to look up SOTEC, Special Operations Technologies, and go to our website. I'm jim@specopstech.com or sotectactical.com. But if you do a Google search for Special Operations Technologies in Carson, California, you'll find our website. Our website is jim@the web address, and you can find me here.
Awesome. And also on LinkedIn too. So Jim Cragg on LinkedIn. And I'm Brett Henderson, present founder of Strategic Wealth Endeavor, www.swe90.com, Sierra Whiskey Echo 90.com. And this has been a great episode. So Jim, thanks so much for coming. And we look forward to episode number two, brother. Look for number
I'm
two.
There.
All right. Signing off. Talk to everybody soon.
Thank you for listening to the Veteran Entrepreneur Masterclass podcast. Don't forget to click the follow button to become notified when new episodes become available. Securities offered through IFP Securities LLC, DBA Independent Financial Partners, IFP, member FINRA, and SIPC. Investment advice offered through IFP Investors LLC, DBA Independent Financial Partners, IFP, a registered investment advisor. IFP and Strategic Wealth Endeavor INC are not affiliated. The views expressed are that of the host and are for informational purposes only, and in no event should be construed as an offer to buy or sell securities. Opinions expressed are subject to change without notice and do not take into account the particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs of individual investors. Neither IFP Investors LLC, IFP Securities LLC, DBA Independent Financial Partners, IFP, nor their affiliates offer tax or legal advice. Interested parties are strongly encouraged to seek advice from qualified tax and/or legal experts regarding the best options for your particular circumstances. The information given herein is taken from sources that IFP Advisors LLC, DBA Independent Financial Partners.